Good afternoon and welcome to the Buckmaster Show from the Green Thing Socolow Village Studio. It's Monday, May 24th. I'm Dan Scheer, editor of the Green Valley News, Sawarita Sun. Bill's freshly back from what has been dubbed his Keep on Truckin' Alaskan Adventure, also known as a vacation, but as a lot of you are aware, he broke his arm and is now back in Tucson to get that looked at. We're pulling for you, Bill. We want you back real soon. The show comes to you live Monday through Friday, noon to 1 p.m. right here, or you can access all the archives or the live stream at buckmastershow.com. Lots of great content there. It's like reading a history book of the state. We started off the week talking to our political experts during the Monday political face-off. Today, we welcome Bruce Ash and Don Jorgensen. After the break at 12:30, we'll be with two recent high school graduates to talk about what it was like to go through their senior year during a pandemic. Please join us if you have a question or comment. You can reach us at the Buckmaster Show live line presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. That is 790-2040. The Monday Political Face-Off is presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, family-owned and run since 1985. Moe's specializes in custom-framed mirrors, art for your walls, picture framing, and hanging services and systems. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing at Fort Lowell and Dodge and at moesgallery.com, and you can find them on Facebook. We are joined by our commentators, Bruce Ash, in studio, and on the phone is Don Jorgensen. Don, I hope you had a great weekend.
I did, although I have to tell you, experiencing 90 degrees in New York is much different than Tucson and reminded me why I prefer Tucson.
It is a dry heat, and there's something to that. So people laugh at us when we say that, you know?
It's true. I mean, you start sweating here when you even think about going outside in the heat. It's too much, but we're visiting our grandson and our daughter and son-in-law just having a wonderful time. So I appreciate being able to call in today.
We really appreciate you being there for us also. And it raises that question, why does anybody retire to Florida? You know, is it the bugs? Is it the humidity? Maybe it's the alligators. We do not know. So that is a mystery. Bruce, always good to see you. How are you doing?
Good to see you, Dan. And Don, I don't want to make you feel jealous or anything, but... I'll send you the picture of me wearing my sweatshirt working in the garden this weekend in Coronado.
Oh, nice.
And, you know, half of that is I love the ocean, so you get me twice as jealous.
I tell you. Well, you know what? Arizona, not such a bad place, and sometimes we have to leave home.
It's been a great spring.
It actually has been. This morning I was almost chilly walking the dog at 6:30 this morning, and that was nice.
Yeah.
So you don't get it too many places. It's beautiful, and I love Southern Arizona best of all. So, well, let's launch into it here. Bruce, I'm going to throw this one to you. Representatives Matt Gaetz and Marjorie Taylor Greene from, you know, Congress are in Mesa on Friday night for an America First fundraiser. I'm not quite sure what they're raising funds for, to be honest with you. Sharing the stage with them were two Arizona members of Congress, Andy Biggs and Paul Gosar. All politics aside, Gaetz is at the center of a criminal sex trafficking investigation. Is this really the time to have someone like him out drumming up money for conservative causes?
Nobody asked me.
Yep.
But if they had asked me, I would have said, can you find somebody else? And look, I hope that all of the allegations that have been made against Matt are false and that he's cleared in this. He has done good work serving in the House of Representatives. But at the same time, Dan and Don, this is not the guy that you want helping anybody. The only person he probably helps are the Democrats running against Representatives Gosar and Andy Biggs.
Right, and which is a strange thing to see them on stage. Don, it's almost like they are trying to rekindle the Trump-era rallies.
It really is true, and someone described Gosar, Biggs, Gaetz, and Marjorie Taylor Greene as the four horsemen of the Republican apocalypse, and I kind of like that because, yeah, when someone made the decision to have these two be the face of Republican fundraising, I know Bruce laid it out honestly, and I appreciate that no, you know, that makes no sense except for their primary opponents and Democrats who, you know, are happy, you know, as they say, when someone continues to dig a hole, let them. And that's what the Republicans are doing here with just taking any focus off any legitimate issues and keeping it on the Republican crazy train.
Well, and I think we all need to be serious about this. This America First group is really not exactly a mainstream Republican group. Gates and his twin sister don't really have that great a standing within the Republican Party, or even now amongst their fellow members of Congress. Andy Biggs and Paul Gosar do, and they've done a lot of good things for Arizona and for America as well, though.
And I think that's what surprised me, was to see those two on stage up there with them. And I agree with you. I don't know that anybody has anointed them to be the face of the Republican Party, as Don said, for fundraising efforts. They are, I don't know if fringe is too big of a word, but why is it that people like that get the attention? Is it us, the media, because we kind of like a freak show? Is it that we like a train wreck or a dumpster fire? Or is it that the others are too boring and they're not making news? Is it, why
all,
is it?
All
why
of
is
the,
it?
All of the above. And look, like I said before, I would not have brought those two out to speak to this group. And that was just, I think, a bad decision that was made.
Well, the last time I saw something...
I think there's another piece of this, too. I'm sorry, Dan.
Sure, go ahead, Don.
You can't just look at it as fringe. You have to look at what's happening in the context of the Republican Party, where just, 2 weeks ago, they stripped a extreme conservative Republican in Liz Cheney from a position of power, and have done nothing in response to the actions of Matt Gaetz. You want to say extreme end of the Republican Party, but it's looking more and more like the majority are favoring this America First approach with, as you mentioned, Biggs and Gosar. They're respected members of the Republican Party, which has moved so far to the right they can't even support Liz Cheney anymore. That is not the Republican Party of the past decade, and you can't just say it is a media creation focus on these two when it's the Republican Party that has created the news that media responds to.
So as far as the business with Liz Cheney, I have a little bit of experience having served in a senior position at the RNC for well over 6 years when I was the Rules Committee chairman. And the one thing that being in senior leadership, being part of the members of the committee or the members of Congress who others have to look up to and follow. Liz, and for that matter, me in a very minor role in comparison, we don't have the luxury of expressing ourselves on a whole bunch of different areas that are in contradiction with the leadership, with the other members of the leadership team, as well as with the most of the members of the caucus or the Republican National Committee. And I saw that as one of the sacrifices that I had to make in order to lead the Rules Committee. However, at the same time, I knew in 2017 that I did not want to follow that anymore. I wanted to be my own free agent. I felt that I could be just as effective not serving in leadership, and I was unconstrained. And look, Ms. Stefanik is definitely in line with party leadership, and she'll make a great conference chairman, and that's just the way things go. Like you said, Dan, this is part of media loving a dumpster fire. This was damage control within the Republican conference and the U.S. House of Representatives, and they did what they had to do.
So really, did Liz Cheney just go too far and just say too much? I mean, was it because she was one of 10 Republicans who voted to impeach President Trump, yet those other nine are not certainly facing something like this? So really, this is kind of a separate issue.
Well, the others weren't in leadership.
Okay, and so she just was out there just pounding away, basically.
Well, and she did pound away. She kept rehashing it, calling the former president dangerous and a liar and a criminal. And then she did it again after she was removed. She'll get a lot less attention now, though.
Okay, we'll see how that goes. One more comment on the America First thing. The last time I saw something like this, it was a couple of years ago. It was the Build the Wall rally that actually that national movement started in Sahuarita.
Yeah, and I was at the meeting.
Exactly. So was I. And it eventually landed in the courts as a possible ripoff. And so, again, you look at America First and you say, okay, where's this money going? And who's going to be
so I don't know if you watch Fox, but Ed Rollins, who's been around since the dinosaurs, would do these ads for some group. You see three or four of these commercials by him. The guy looked as though, you know, he'd been stood up. He looked gray and ashen, and he was raising all kinds of money. I still have never figured out what the heck he was raising money for. I suspect 60% of it, like those Lincoln Project guys, it ended up in their own pockets to begin with.
So is this your way of saying don't give to America First?
Well, this would be my way of saying that if you're a Republican, you're better off to give to your favorite candidate or to the Republican National Committee.
Okay, we are with Don Jorgensen and Bruce Ash on the Monday Political Face-Off. You're listening to The Buckmaster Show, broadcasting from the Green Thing Socolow Village studio. And our live line is made possible by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. This is a good time to remind you that this portion of The Buckmaster Show is presented by Mona's Danish Bakery, home of the Danish Kringle. You can find Mona's on the northeastern corner of Swan and Sunrise. Mona's is open for breakfast and lunch from 6:30 a.m. to 2 p.m. Treat yourself to their incredible pastries and including the famous Danish Kringle. Mona'sDanishBakery.com or BuckmasterShow.com for a link to Mona's Danish Bakery. We'll be right back.
Vero Amore Restaurant in Plaza Palomino at Fort Lowland Swan and Dove Mountain in Marana are now open for limited in-restaurant and patio dining, along with takeout and home delivery. All of your favorite Vero Amore menu items, including Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, are ready for you and your friends and family. More at VeroAmorePizza.com.
Hello, I'm Danette Bewley, President and CEO of the Tucson Airport Authority, with news of our new effort to ensure air traveler safety and security going through our terminal. It's called TUS Cares, and you can read more about it on our website, flytucson.com. As you carefully weigh your decision to fly, I want you to know whether it's next week, next month, or next year, we are here for you at Tucson International Airport. Thank you.
A Citizens Advisory Committee of the Regional Transportation Authority is starting to review projects submitted by RTA member jurisdictions for consideration for the next RTA plan. The committee will consider plan goals and performance factors as they move into the selection process. The RTA will seek public feedback on the committee's draft plan when it is ready. Learn more about plan goals and sign up to stay informed at rtanext.com.
Why is mining so important? It's the foundation of everything that defines a society. Everything you see is a product of mining. No matter when, no matter how, no matter why, every society on this planet has developed, grown, and modernized based solely on the minerals it could process. That, my friend, is why mining is so important.
Brought to you by the Southern Arizona Business Coalition.
Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is once again welcoming guests to the gallery. Stop by or call ahead for a one-on-one appointment or even a virtual design session. Come by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, located at the southwest corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge. The number is 795-8226 and on the web at moesgallery.com.
Reed Park Zoo is now open for wildlife walks, a modified guest experience, prioritizing social distancing and safety. To find out more about all the changes and the new safety precautions now in place, visit reedparkzoo.org. The community-approved 10-year master plan ensures that your zoo's future is brighter than ever before. We've missed you, and so have the animals. They're waiting to welcome you back to the Reed Park Zoo.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Welcome back to the Monday Political Face-Off, presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing at Fort Lowell and Dodge and at moesgallery.com and on Facebook. I'm Dan Scheer, editor of the Green Valley News and the Sahuadita Sun, sitting in for Bill. You've joined us in the middle of the Monday Political Face-Off with Don Jorgensen on the phone and Bruce Ash. Today, state Republican leaders resume their audit of the 2020 general election after a week off. Bruce, this effort continues to draw more criticism from Republicans and certainly has made Arizona the butt of a lot of jokes nationally. What do you think about what's going on up in Phoenix?
Well, first of all, I think it's important to correct a fallacy and a untruth that has been unfortunately spread not just by Democrats, but by Republicans as well. This audit is not an audit to change the results of the 2020 election. You ask any of the leadership in the Senate who authorized this or Ken Bennett, the former Secretary of State. The purpose of this audit is to make sure that the rules that were in place for this election were followed and that the safeguards to make sure that all votes cast were done in a proper sort of a fashion. There will not be any sort of rejiggering of the results to declare Donald Trump or anybody else who might have lost by a small margin. What there is hope, though, is that if there were issues that occurred during this audit, that they be, corrected legislatively in the next legislative session, and B, if there's any wrongdoing, that wrongdoing be investigated by others, not by this group. And I don't understand why the Democrats, who have claimed all along that there's no problems, why they don't want to look at this. It suggests to me that perhaps they do think that there were problems and they just don't want the news to get out.
Don, are you seeing it that way?
Well, that's nonsense. Let's go back to the fact that this was considered the most secure election in history with record turnout during a pandemic, and a Democratic candidate won the presidential vote in Arizona, which scared the heck out of the Republicans. So, Democrats are not afraid of anything. What no one likes seeing is a sham activity here, which is doing nothing with regard to election integrity. And remember that not just were there three audits already conducted, not only was the vote certified by Governor Ducey and Congress in terms of determining that there was a fair election and transparency, there were numerous court cases, if you recall, that the Republicans brought against this, and every one of them failed, which demonstrated, again, it was secure. But that's not the Republican goal here. They really had two goals. One is feeding the conspiracy theorists to satisfy them and avoid primary opponents. The Republican State Senate and Karen Fann were focused on that. And the other is a little more insidious, and that's really to do what they're doing nationwide, and that's to undermine confidence in voting, in elections, perhaps by doing that, depressing the vote, which is what we're seeing in a coordinated campaign from state to state, along with these voter suppression laws. This happens to be just a particular sideshow circus of an activity here with no credibility. And as we saw that from the beginning when they hired the company Cyber Ninjas with not only no experience, and now it's come out that they've lied about the experience they did have. And in the process may have corrupted the voting machines, which kind of destroys Bruce's comment about looking at the process and have opened themselves up now to a possible lawsuit. So I think everything that could go wrong for the Republicans have. Everything that they tried to present as legitimate has been proven to be illegitimate. And again, it is an embarrassment for the state of Arizona. I'm hearing that on the East Coast, and I think you're hearing that there as well.
Well, Don, you're entitled to your opinions, but not the facts. And let's take one issue. There's no need to drag this on.
Those lawsuits were facts.
So let's first start with the integrity of the election. It is very chain of custody is a very, very important thing in an election. And the refusal by Dominion to provide passwords, the level, the extent that the audit group had to even try to get the minimum passcode, they were thwarted at court. They eventually got that ability to get into the machines, but they didn't really get into the machines themselves in terms of the memory and the information that's stored within them. In fact, not even the Maricopa County Board of Supervisors, who has ultimate responsibility for that, they didn't have access to it, and Dominion has refused to give that particular very, very important piece of information. And just one other thing I would add is that, and it was nobody's fault, Don and Dan, there were so many votes that came in through the mail that it was impossible for the certification process on signatures to run per normal. They were so backed up that they went from a 20-character or 20-point sort of verification within a very short period of time down to a 5-point verification. And finally, on election night, they decided in order to get the results out, they had to stop doing verifications at all on the signatures. These are two very, very important things, and these are facts. They're not my opinion. They are facts on the ground, and that'll be part of the report that the audit team makes later on.
Well, Bruce, I don't know that they were in any hurry to get the results out in past elections. In fact, I remember sometimes waiting days or even a couple of weeks for some races. So what makes you think that they were in a hurry this time?
Because the Maricopa County Board of Supervisors said they were, as well as the Maricopa County Recorder.
Okay. Don, I want to ask you, moving to another subject, were you surprised that Arizona didn't get a 10th seat in Congress?
I was initially, and then I thought back to what happened under the Trump administration. And you have to recall that Trump cut the census short. The administration also made a lot of noise about requiring a citizenship question. And even though that ultimately did not appear, it did dissuade, according to a number of polls and research, did dissuade a lot of folks from responding to the census, which hurt Arizona tremendously. So I think shortening the count, shortening the process for counting the census, discouraging people from responding to the census, I think both of those points played a huge role in a state like Arizona with a large minority population and a growing population. And I think not only did it hurt us in getting a 10th seat, it also hurt in the millions of dollars of federal funds that now will be cut or at least be a lot less than expected to come to the state of Arizona. So the damage is well beyond just a 10th seat. It could do a lot of damage to funding of schools and education and police and first responders along the way too.
Well, Dan, you can fact check me later if you desire on this, but the census process took far longer than it had originally been planned for. And in fact, there's even some concern that a report coming to the independent commission or in other states, the state legislatures may hold up the ability to have everything in the can, if you will, by the early fall of this year. And this is a problem. And actually, Don alludes to the citizenship question. That is a valid question. I don't agree that it shouldn't have been asked. It should have been on the form, and it wouldn't have made any difference in a federal election. Anybody who is here legally does have the franchise to vote in federal elections. That's the law, Don.
And the census was not about the right to vote. It was about the number of people in a state.
Sure, but the other is a byproduct.
And you can argue about whether they're entitled to to benefits or not, to aid, that's another question and a legitimate question. But that was not this question. And the impact of the Republican actions was to, again, dissuade folks from coming out and depress the totals, which hurt Arizona economically.
Okay, I'm going to have to rush you too on this one, but I did want to get to it. Too often we let the Sunday morning shows or the pundits tell us what the real issues are in the country. But what do you think are going to be the biggest issues that we're facing as a nation over the next couple of years, and what issues will be in play for the 2022 election? You each get about 30 seconds here. Bruce?
The threat of China to our security and to world security. And the second would be the impact of all of the money that has been thrown into the economy with the trillions and trillions of dollars. We're seeing inflation rise, and we're having a great deal of concern in the economic marketplace about the future of inflation and interest rates.
Okay, Don?
And part of that flowing from there, too, is the increasing economic inequities where we're losing the middle class.
Okay.
And we're seeing folks falling farther and farther behind. In Arizona, as Superintendent Hoffman said, we don't even fund full-day kindergarten, and yet we're looking at more tax cuts for the wealthy.
Okay, that is going to wrap up the Monday Political Face-Off, presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, meeting all your custom framing needs and more since 1985. That's Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing at Fort Lowell and Dodge, and at moesgallery.com and on Facebook. My thanks to Don and Bruce. You two make it a great week.
Yes, sir.
Thank you, Dan.
Sure. This is the Buckmaster Show, broadcasting from the Green Thing Socolow Village Studio. And when we return, you're invited to join us on the live line, made possible by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. We'll be welcoming two recent Sarita High School graduates. They're going to be talking about their senior year during a pandemic. We'll be right back.
Vets working hard to save wildlife covered in cactus spines. A skunk left for dead, miraculously saved by a caring citizen. Those are just a couple of the headlines from the nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Center, where thousands of animals are cared for each year at its state-of-the-art Far East Side Tucson facility. Rescue, rehab, and release. The Tucson Wildlife Center, saving wildlife for more than two decades. Donate online at TucsonWildlife.com or call 290-WILD.
Have you ever imagined how your life would be without the modern conveniences you rely on every day? Everything you need depends entirely on products produced from mining. Without mining, think Stone Age. Your work commute might be a bit slower, but you could still have social media. Bathing shouldn't be a problem, but it won't be in a tub. So unless you're a caveman, you can see everything that enriches your life depends on the many miracles from mining. Brought to you by the Southern Arizona Business Coalition.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local independent nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year. And if you are over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
Enjoy the majestic mountain views from the perfect for any season spacious patio at Tucson's original gastropub, Noble Hops in Oro Valley. Savor the view while sipping on locally brewed craft beer and enjoying gastropub fine fare. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies, at West Lambert Lane at North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley, and on the web at noblehops.com.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Are you searching for a sumptuous suite on the Italian Riviera, an exploration of the mighty Mississippi, or an indulgent spa in Cancun? Bon Voyage Travel will help you find exactly the vacation you're looking for anywhere in the world. With many cruises setting sail in over 1,100 hotels and resorts to choose from with our exclusive benefits, Bon Voyage Travel's experienced advisors are here to guide you every step of the way. Visit bvtravel.com or call 797-1110.
You're listening to the Buckmaster Show. I'm Dan Scheer, sitting in for Bill. Our friends over in Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico, are ready to welcome you back, just 3 hours east of Tucson. There is so much to do in Silver City and Grant County, including hiking in the Gila National Wilderness, where there's plenty of social distancing, and visiting the world's famous Cliff Dwellings National Monument. For a complete listing of the many things to do and great places to stay, visit southwestnewmexico.org. We now welcome Chase Kinsman and Sophia Rodriguez. They are both 18 and graduated from Sarita High School just last Wednesday, fresh off the truck. Chase, before we get into what it was like to go through a senior year during a pandemic, was the graduation ceremony itself pretty much what you hoped it would be?
Yeah, it was. The school did an amazing job, like exceeded my expectations with what we were doing. Like compared to other years, like it was crazy how everyone, I feel like what happened this year like made everyone so much more considerate and excited for graduation. All the speeches were great. Our guest speaker, Mr. D'Souza, our vice principal, amazing as always, like singing in for the parents and everyone. It was really nice, really hard not to cry.
So Sophia, was this kind of, it was almost normal to have this ceremony, and you guys had you quite reached normalcy again, or, I mean?
Well, I feel like towards the end it was, a bit more normal because the graduation, it felt as normal as it could have felt.
Sure.
I think it was perfect. I loved it. I loved every minute of our last couple days as seniors. It was great.
Well, you're surprising me because I expected you to both be whiny and to say that you're going to be scarred for life, because your senior year wasn't typical, but it certainly was special and memorable.
Oh, yeah. Yes, indeed. I'm just grateful that we at least had some time at school.
Sure.
Because if we didn't at all, then I'd probably be a little whiny. But I think that since we had some time actually in the classroom, that it was good.
Okay, so Chase, take me back to the beginning of the school year. And again, this whole year was full of big question marks. People really didn't know what was going to be okay and when it was going to be okay. Mm-hmm. And the whole question surrounding teenagers and children was, okay, can this be passed on to them? Or is that really even the question? Could they take it home and give it to family members, et cetera? So people wanted to be careful. So the hybrid learning, did it kick in right away? Or what was the first day of school like?
Yeah. Well, first day of school, which one? We had like 10. We started the exact day, or maybe a week after we were supposed to start. And they were decided, okay, we're going to do online. So we all started online. It was, I don't remember what days. I think there were select days that we did it. It was like one day you had first, second, third, and then the rest we had fourth, fifth, sixth. So like I didn't have a sixth period. So I had one day, I only had two periods. So it was really easy. Mm-hmm. But it was really different. It was all Google Classroom, which I was so excited to delete once graduation. I said, that's gone. Delete it off my phone. Google Classroom, never again. But it was crazy. Like the way that teachers just put everything out, like we were getting emails every 10 minutes, like, hey, this is due this time. This is also due. But at the same time, for a lot of people, it seemed like it was easier to keep track of just because we had it all on our phones. We had it all on our tablets or whatever you're using for school. So it was just, it was crazy, but it was in its own way, like very relaxing and very, very, I don't know the word for it, but it felt normal eventually. Mm-hmm. Within a month, it was like, oh, this is normal. Like, so, this is it.
Sophia, then, did you pretty much know what was expected of you, even though we were hearing there was some chaos, there was some confusion, there were whatever. But again, we're not going to hear generally from the people where it's working for. Mm-hmm. We're going to hear from the people who are kind of confused and whatever. But your experience was what? Did you pretty much know what you were expected to do?
Yeah, I thought it was super easy. I felt like the responsibility, like you had to be more responsible over your things. Like you had to check your emails. You had to check everything to make sure that you were on top of it. But I felt like you had more, like there was, you had more time to do assignments. Like you were, you could have, like every due date was 11:59 p.m.
Yes.
And so I felt like we had more room to, like if we had something to do in the morning, we had time to just do that afterwards. And then mm-hmm. on Wednesdays, we didn't have school at all. So like yeah. it gave us time to do our work that we wanted to do like ahead of time.
So was part of the reason you had time to get stuff done is because pretty much you had no social life because of this pandemic, or was
pretty
it really
much.
Like that?
No, yeah, I had no social life at all. Like my mom, my whole family, like we were staying inside because we wanted to stay like the safest we could.
Sure.
And just like it gave us more time to just, I feel like also bond and just be closer too. It was nice.
So it was good for families, Chase. Is that yeah. what you were hearing?
Yeah, like it was good for families and like you were just saying social lives. Like I'm a bit more fortunate than most kids. I was on our cheer team, captain of our Sarita cheer team. So like I had active, like I was always out with like teammates and right. obviously social distancing, masks all the time. Like there's a point where half of a team would be at practice, half would be on Zoom. So I was fortunate in that way. And very much like Sophia said, like we also bonded as a team, like as a family. So it was like, in a way, like I was fortunate I gained two families through this. But
very good.
Yeah.
Did you though, okay, so you kind of caught on to the whole hybrid and the Google Classroom and everything, but do you feel like you learned as much, Sophia? Did you feel like you learned as much doing school remotely?
I feel like I learned how to research a lot better and just study, because I feel like I didn't study as much as I do now, because I was always at school and like the teachers were always helping us there. Like during hybrid, I had to teach myself, like especially with math, because I was taking a college level math this year and I had to really work hard and understand what I was learning, because if I didn't, like I was gonna fail the class, you know what I mean? So I had to really work hard and study, and I feel like a better student because of the hybrid learning, because I also got to interact with my teachers, but also teach myself the way I know how to like learn and prefer to learn.
So it looks like you found some silver linings there, but do you wish it had been a typical year?
In a way, yes, because it was our senior year, but I feel like I wouldn't want to change anything because it was yeah. a good experience.
Me too. Like I wouldn't change it for the world, just because like we're the only class now, well, mm-hmm. us in class of 2020, but we're the only class that gets to come out and say like, hey, like we did this all in a pandemic. Like class of 2020 ended with it, but like we graduated, we're high school graduates in a pandemic. Like,
yeah.
Exactly.
It's insane.
And you do learn a lot of things, but some kids did not come through this as well as others. Among your peer group, was there some depression or anger or whining, as we mentioned previously? And how did you, as friends, step up and help people address that? Chase?
Yeah, absolutely. Like, I even, like, myself personally went through a little phase of depression. Like, it was insane, but it was... At the same time, like we talked about a little bit ago, like we all like we did it and we all knew what we were all going through. Like we were all going through it at the same time. So mm-hmm. like we were all able to help each other. And then like once that one person was like figured it out, like, oh, hey, we're okay. Like
yeah.
we got this. Like it all helped like so much that everyone understood what was happening. And I think that helped like going back into school when we started doing the more hybrid, like class A and class B, where we were separated. Like it helped going into that, because not saying teachers were lenient, but they were like, they understood. Like mm-hmm. you could go to them and be like, hey, like this is happening. Like my family's sick. And they'd be like, mm-hmm. okay, you take this time, you do what you can do, and we get it.
Mm-hmm.
So I think going through it with everybody, it made it much more, a lot easier to get through.
Mm-hmm. So Sophia, your friends, how did you reach out to them if they needed something?
We would just FaceTime, we would talk, yeah, text a lot. Like for me, my friends were mostly on the other group, so I had to like make new friends, which mm-hmm. was actually really good, because mm-hmm. it gave me new friends to talk to, just expound my friend group. Yeah.
Good. Good.
Yeah, it was good.
Not a bad thing. So what did you guys have to give up this past year? Now, let me mention some of the, you know, the traditional things like, you know, as far as Chase, the cheer team goes, I know there was only 3 football games.
Yep.
That was, and I don't know about state competition or how that was done. And I also cannot imagine trying to get everybody in step when half of the team is on Zoom. How did that work?
Yeah, so back to the football thing, that was crazy. We did get senior night, so that was a big plus. We got our senior night, made that special. The big game we didn't get was homecoming. Mm-hmm. That's a big deal at Sarita. Like, at other schools, it's like, oh, it's homecoming. But like in Sarita, like we're such a small town, like homecoming is homecoming.
Sure.
Like, we do not mess around that week. Like we have a float contest. Like it's a huge thing, but we didn't get to do that this year. But going to the competitions, we were really successful this year, coming out state champions and state runner-ups. So it was really hard. Half of us, like you said, would be on Zoom. That was crazy, learning new material and everything. And half of us would learn it, and then the other half would be learning it. And then we had to put it together because eventually, like the week before competition, they were like, okay, we'll let you guys get together. So we were able to get together. We learned our material, and even competition was crazy this year, where normally for game day, that's the one that we won, Division III AIA game day. It would be one day, like in like November, we would have our qualifiers, and then December we would have state. So 2 different days. This year was crazy where it was all in one day.
Right.
It was a very long day, very, very, very long. But we came out on top, and it just made it so much sweeter because we've been fighting for it for 3 years and coming out this year. Like of all the years, it was like, whoa, what the heck? Like in COVID, like how did we do that? But going back and watching, it's like, oh no, like we did that. Like that was deserved, but.
Okay, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back on the Buckmaster Show, broadcasting from the Green Thing Socolow Village studio with our guests, Chase Kinsman and Sophia Rodriguez. They are recent Sarita High School graduates. Join us on the live line, made possible by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. We'll be right back.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
Green Things is a family-owned and operated plant nursery serving Tucson since 1970. Open daily at 3384 East River Road, Green Things is chock full of plants and pottery from around the world. Green Things is also now home to Zocalo, featuring fine Mexican and South American imports spread over 5 buildings on the 13-acre Green Things property. For more, visit greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
The Regional Transportation Authority plan is funded by a voter-approved half-cent sales tax, which expires in June 2026. To prepare for ongoing project delivery, the RTA board established a Citizens Advisory Committee to select projects for a new draft plan. The committee will help identify which projects to invest in to best meet regional transportation needs. Learn more about plan development and provide early input at rtanext.com.
Hello, I'm Danette Bewley, President and CEO of the Tucson Airport Authority, with news of our new effort to ensure air traveler safety and security going through our terminal. It's called TUS Cares, and you can read more about it on our website, flytucson.com. As you carefully weigh your decision to fly, I want you to know whether it's next week, next month, or next year, we are here for you at Tucson International Airport. Thank you.
Hi, this is Pam Krim, CEO of the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, where we set the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the place to turn for objective and unbiased information on businesses. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona at bbb.org/Tucson.
Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
And welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. Since 1970, Green Things has been the go-to place for your gardening needs. Green Things is on a gorgeous 13-acre site that is also home to Socolo Village and all of their fine Mexican and Latin American imported furniture and art. Green Things on River Road, just west of Brandy Fenton Park, and on the web at greenthingsaz.com and SocoloVillage.com. We are talking to Chase Kinsman and Sophia Rodriguez. They are recent Sarita High School graduates. In fact, just last Wednesday. Chase, what's the future going to bring?
Yeah, as of right now, I am going to be attending the University of Arizona. Going in, as of right now, this has changed about 10 times. I'm sure the university is probably like, take back his admission. Going back from biology, but as of right now, it's veterinary science, majoring in veterinary science.
Very
good. So that's my plan as of right now. So very excited for that.
I hear it's tougher to become a veterinarian than it is a medical doctor.
Oh gosh, don't tell me that.
It is. Okay. It's very competitive.
Yeah. Sophia, what's up for you?
I'll be going to Pima for my associates, and then I'll be transferring over with Chase, the U of A, to also major in veterinary science.
Okay, very good. Yes. Some tough things. And you know what? It is okay to change things. You're 18.
Yes.
Come on, man. Don't worry about it. So you talked a little bit about this, but I really want to hone in on what did you come to appreciate over the past year? And I have to tell you, I am greatly encouraged by your presence here today and what you've had to say, because it has been just really much more upbeat than I expected it to be. And that's a good thing, because you look at the tough times and you say, okay, what can I learn from it rather than whining about it? And I'm sure there are, you know, the people out there who it's hit them maybe a little harder, but what's one or two things that you've come to appreciate, Sophia?
I've come to appreciate just my family in general. Like I've paid attention a lot more to what my parents do, and I'm just very grateful for them because they work so hard, especially like my dad. Like he's always working, and then my mom too, she's a teacher, and I see how hard she works for her students. It's incredible. And then my little sister, she works so hard too in school, and it's just, I've just also come to appreciate my friends because they're also just there to help and like comfort when like obviously the hard times happened. And they really helped you push through too.
Yeah. I would also add like education. Like that's crazy. Like such a cliche thing to say, but no, yeah. Like this year was really through everything. Obviously senior year is supposed to be like, oh, like I got to get my stuff done. But like through everything recently, it's been like, oh gosh, I really got to get this done. Like, cause you get a look at it and you see all the due dates and it's like, okay, I got to get this, 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 and this. So it's like, I've definitely come to appreciate like free education a lot more, like especially going to the university, looking at all the pills and everything, be like, oh my gosh, this is gonna be expensive. So
yeah, you get to pay for it then.
Yeah.
So social media had to have made it easier to stay in touch with people.
Yes.
But Sophia, it's still not the same thing as being next to someone.
It's not. Yeah, it's not, because like you're so used to seeing your friends, getting to hug them every day and like just interacting with them and like not having to be so far away to like actually talk to them. But also with like the masks and stuff like that, it's just, it's so different. It was different.
Yeah, like coming back to school, like it was one of those things where your friend would take down their mask and you'd be like, whoa, forgot like, what you look like.
Yeah.
Like what? Like, okay. But it's been... That was a big one, is the masks.
Like even at lunch, like you couldn't even sit with your whole group because it had to be a certain amount of people at a table. So Yeah, they make it work.
So in the off-campus world where I was living, there were certain people who were a little more hinky about the mask wearing and the social distancing and just not being out unless you absolutely needed to, than others who were much more laissez-faire about it. It was just not a big deal. Mm-hmm. Did you see that among your fellow students on campus?
I feel like they wanted to be at school more than anything. Yeah. Because we missed everybody so much. Like, there are some kids who are like, you know what, we're outside, right?
Yeah.
But I feel like for the most part, a lot of kids listened because they didn't want to get sent home. They wanted to be with their friends.
Yeah, I remember one day, I was in yearbook in photography, and one day it was scary, like, especially the seniors. Like, we all were very much, we were the ones that were like, hey, like, let's just, like, be safe. Like, if not for you, like, for us. Like, we want our graduation. Like, come on. Because we had three lists. There was three options for graduation. It was either we got our graduation, there was a drive-through, or there was nothing. So it was like, we got to do it. So it was crazy. And that was, it was scary because there was one day I recall walking out to my car to get something for yearbook. And if you got contact traced is what we called it. So like if someone went and got tested positive for COVID, they would call you in and you would have to go home, take a test. Like if you're negative, you could come back. There was a whole thing. I never got contact traced, so I didn't know how it worked exactly. But walking out to my car, there was like 17 or so kids standing out there getting contact traced. And it was like, whoa, like it's real. Like I could be contact traced and there could go my graduation. So it was definitely a lot of kids were masking up and just doing what they had to do and getting ready. So
the contact trace meant basically those kids disappeared for a couple of weeks. They weren't going to be on campus.
Yeah. Exactly, yeah. And like even like hearing like the phone ring, it was like the scariest thing because like you didn't know if it was going to be your name getting called up to the office or like outside in front of the cafeteria to get tested, like or like sent home to go get tested.
Right.
Yeah.
And there had to be somewhat of a little stigma attached to that too, kind of a, you have it.
Yeah, well,
or you could have it.
Kind of a little in a way. It was kind of like a, they kept it very, very quiet.
Hush, hush, yeah.
They never told you if you got contact trace, they never told you who it was. I mean, eventually got out.
People figured it out.
Yeah.
It's high school. It's going to get out eventually. But they kept it pretty hush, hush. Mm-hmm. It was pretty much like, oh, well, who was it? Who was it? And then eventually, like weeks or two later, when everyone would come back, it was like, oh, like someone would just say, oh, I had it.
Yeah.
And it was like, oh, okay.
Chase, you mentioned the yearbook, and I'm glad to learn that you're on the yearbook staff because I have, I'm dying to know what a yearbook looks like when you've gone through this. It had to look a little different.
It was crazy. We did it online. It was an online yearbook, so it was on our phones. We went into it thinking, oh, we're only going to get like a 100-page book. Like, that's it, 150-page book, and somehow, some way, we came out with a 256-page yearbook. Don't know how we did it. It was insane. Everyone worked so hard. It was special. It was, everyone had their own app, and like you're in the app, you can click on someone's like little picture, you know, their portrait, and you leave them a note, and you could leave them a 7-second video. Like it's really cool, really interesting how it worked, and you can even go buy a printed copy, and then. It was really weird how it worked this year. It was like, okay, wait, this is really cool. Like, it was one of those things where I didn't know this existed until this year. I was like, it was up to me, this is how all my yearbooks would have been. Like, this is crazy.
And I think we're going to have a lot of those changes. Green Valley learned that, okay, I'm 85, but I can still handle Zoom. And so a lot of them were learning things like that for the first time. They figured, yeah, I didn't need to worry about it. So we got about a minute left or so. Sophia, are you a different person from having gone through this past year?
I feel like in a sense, yes, but for the most part, I don't think so. I feel like I'm just like, I feel more independent like for our learning environment that we had. I feel more independent.
Okay, very good. You had to figure it out and make it work. And as you said, you faced all those deadlines. Chase, what about you?
Yeah, definitely. I think so. In a way, like Sophia said, like I think all of us grew up very quick. It was very much a shock factor, like, oh, we gotta grow up, we're doing this now. So it definitely got us ready for the college life. So I think that's one of the big things that I'm excited and happy and grateful for to come out from this. So
well, I think we all learned a lot of lessons as a society and as a community, Green Valley and Sahuarita, and you guys were part of it. And like I said, I'm very, very encouraged Thank you for being here.
Yes, of course.
Thank you so much for
having us. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's our privilege. Our thanks to Chase Kinsman and Sophia Rodriguez. Great job. And we do wish you guys the best in your future.
Thank you so much.
I will be back in this seat on Friday as we spend the bulk of the hour with several people tied to journalism, including a college professor, a university student, and a media company CEO who's going to talk about the state of the industry, and that CEO just happens to be the new owner of the Tucson Weekly. On behalf of the team here at the Buckmaster Show, we want to tell you to make it a great Monday.